T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jumping off an hour or two here of Sports Talk along with Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Logan Falgu at Master Control. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda will reportedly leave LSU and become Baylor's new head football coach. Is losing Aranda bigger than losing Joe Brady? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870.
So what is the percentages now, Christian, on that?
Pulling it up as we speak. Right now, 56% are saying yes, 44% are saying no.
So that's 50-50.
Basically. Yeah, I would. If I were projecting a percentage here, I would think this would be more 65-35, 70-30. Because I think that, first off, Steve Ensminger didn't get enough credit, I don't think, for what he did this year as the OC. He was the one calling the plays.
Well, you can even see during the game they put the camera on him. Now,
and he knows the system. He's been taught the system by Joe, right? But there's another guy, Jorge Munoz, who I know Miles Brennan is very fond of.
Well, Christian, he was the one on the sideline communicating mm-hmm. with Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan. He was the one that, my understanding, when they would do, like, different teams, and you're setting up a game plan, like blitz packages, understanding how the defense is going to try and blitz you, get rid of the ball. Now, you know, you still got to do it in the game, be able to execute. What I mean by that, sometimes, you know, you might think you blocked and the protection is not what you think it's going to be. Then you got to ad-lib. Now, I don't know. Right now, I'd say I don't think Miles Brennan can ad-lib, obviously, like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was unbelievable in the pocket, extending plays. And the plays that he made with his feet, I think if we followed LSU and watched him, that was unbelievable. How Joe Burrow was a runner. His instincts. I mean, he even took shots. He got up. That, to me, that's underappreciated. You know, he's throwing the ball, a very catchable ball, and placing it right. But what he did, truly in crucial situations with his feet, mm-hmm. running, was magical. That's what I don't see Miles Brennan doing. I've told you this before. As great as Joe Burrow is, probably number one overall pick. For sure, I don't know how it's going to fall out, when it comes to the draft top 10. Miles Brennan could throw the ball better than Joe Burrow. Oh, what are you
In terms of strength.
I'm talking about if you go in the backyard. It's not playing quarterback. It's just throwing a football.
Playing catch, yeah.
Playing pitch and catch and just throwing the ball. Purely throwing the ball, Miles Brennan can make all NFL throws. Now, I don't know about all the other intangibles.
Right.
You know, when you get hit in the mouth, mentally, Joe Burrow, Miles Brennan has to prove it. Joe Burrow, I mean, it's unbelievable. The concepts. And him being Joe Koo, how he handles adversity. All those other intangibles, I don't know. But I know from purely throwing a football, Miles Brennan would catch your attention throwing a football kind of like Jeff Jarge would.
You might the ball explodes out of his hand.
Was like, whoa, look at that throw. Well, talk about a tight window and making throws that you have to have, and a pretty ball too, but it takes much more than that to play quarterback. And that's where I think if Miles Brennan can, if he can progress, then I think LSU's going to be in good shape. But as far as from a fan's perspective throwing the ball, I'm telling you, Miles Brennan, again, If you just came from Mars and you just watching them just throw, they're just playing pitch and catch, throwing in the backyard, and nobody's getting hit, they'd say, well, that guy throws better than that guy. I'm talking about making, like, dart throws and accuracy standpoint. Now, Joe Burrow's very accurate. Miles Brennan's very accurate. But when you get hit in the mouth and you maybe stun a little bit, are you still accurate? You know, all those things. Like Joe Burrow, like extending plays with his feet. I don't know if Miles Brennan can do
that. But Miles might have another aspect of his game that
right.
Joe Burrow doesn't.
I know from that perspective, purely throwing the football, LSU is in great shape with Miles Brennan. As far as when I could see why he was so highly recruited, how he could spin. You know how quarterbacks, how he can spin the rock? Mm-hmm. He can spin it. And that's a God-given ability. He was born with that. That wasn't like, oh, the coach developed him. No, he was born with that ability.
Coming back for your calls, also Herb Tyler next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Total boss move for Joe Burrow to crank up a cigar right after the game.
Well, there's a right place, right time for everything. And I don't know. He's not minor. He's 23 years old. Hell, I mean, I'd say I don't care if he smokes a whole box of cigars. It's a victory.
Listen.
You've heard of the term victory cigar?
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
As two guys that enjoy cigars.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about, Joe Burrow setting a bad example. Give me a break with all that. Just stop all that nonsense.
Oh, it's a fire hazard in the Superdome. Fire hazard? You remember when the Dome first opened, 75 to mid-70s? If you were sitting, Christian, in nosebleeds over there, you couldn't even see the other fans across. It was just a haze.
Yeah.
I understand you got rules and all, but that's when you have to have a little flexibility.
I agree. When you had the season that they had, they've kind of earned some things. They've earned the right to break some rules. I'm not saying, break all the laws and go out and rape and pillage. No, I'm saying that in cases where they want to fire up a cigar for victory smoke in the Superdome, I don't think we got to make it out to be this huge monstrous story.
And I don't think being in the Superdome, if the Saints would have beat the Rams, would have, could have, should have, in the Superdome to go to the Super Bowl, if they lit up victory cigars, I think that would be appropriate.
Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback, joining us now. Herb, how are you, man? You still on cloud 9 from LSU's victory?
I'm actually coming down. I'm actually on cloud 8 right now, just so you know. But I'm doing well. How y'all doing, fellas?
Good. Are some making too much of a big deal about how Joe Burrow and others partook in a victory cigar after the game?
I truly haven't seen where anyone has said anything negative about it. At the end of the day, what Bobby said is correct. It's a victory cigar. And Joe Burrow is 23 years old. He can smoke a cigar if he chooses to. And, at that point in time, man, look, just smoking a cigar, that's a celebratory theme that happens in all sorts of lives when people have victories, right? When people have a baby, don't the guys smoke a cigar?
Yep. Right, right.
So, I mean, come on, man. Let's be for real. I think it's definitely overblown. If anyone has any issues with that being the case, I think it's okay. I thought it was cool. He looked cool doing it.
Yeah, Joe cool.
He looked cool.
Pardon the pun, but Joe cool. Yeah. Now, Herb, you're a part of this. You're a part of that special fraternity whenever you play at LSU. And I think probably in the history of LSU football, no one has embraced, no coach has embraced a head coach, the former players like Coach O has, and welcoming you back.
Right.
So when you look at that scenario, and you could speak about that, how Coach O wants you around.
Yes.
But what is Odell Beckham Jr., what is he doing? Why is he trying to make it about him? He could be there and be a big part of the program. Come on, Herb, I got to hear what you can say about this.
So first and foremost, let me say this about Odell. I've been knowing Odell since he was a kid in high school at Newman. And the what you see now is who he was not. Let me say that. But sometimes you just got to dial it back. Sometimes you just got to make the right decisions. Sometimes you got to do things with class, right? I think that his situation, first of all, let's talk about the money situation on the floor of the Superdome right after the game. I don't have a problem with it, but I got a problem with it, if that makes sense, right?
Right, and that's not a good visual. Hello?
Right. Coach O and all other coaches get this huge and enormous bonus money, right, for winning this game. And what do the kids get? A pat on the back, a ring, a shirt, and a hat.
Right.
And go home. Okay, all right, whatever. But come on, Odell, you don't have to do it in that manner. You did it before tastefully, right, when you sent the headphones and the shoes and those gifts for Christmas. You can do the same thing after the game in that manner. You can really, those guys will really appreciate something like that. That's a momentum, man. I got this from Odell Beckham Jr. Instead of giving out $200 in cash or whatever it is to whoever he gave it to. Now, I think that's going to blow over. I think LSU is going to make that right some kind of way. But the thing in the locker room is the part is the one that really got me. When Coach O was speaking and doing his speech, and then you kind of hear Odell yelling in the background behind him, and Coach O couldn't really finish his speech.
Come on,
now,
Odell.
I wasn't there, but don't do that. Just let Coach do his thing. Once Coach breaks him down, then you can stay and do whatever you want to after that. So, but look, once again, we love Odell. I love Odell. I'm going to be in his corner 100%. But I'm still call you out when it's time for you to do the right thing, right? Or when you're doing the wrong thing.
Now, Herb, with that being said, because you can change positive or negative, it just shows a lack of maturity. You think New York did this to him, or is it like the posse, the entourage, or what? I mean, who's influencing him? Where you have to understand, listen, we all divas, and but you have to understand the time and the place. You can't. It's not about you in that moment. I mean, does he realize that? I don't know.
I think he does realize that. So I told this to a friend of mine today. Think about it. What did he do all year this year in the NFL?
He caught like 4 touchdowns.
well, not so much production wise. You know what we were seeing before in New York. So he wore that the watch one game, and then he wore the shoes another game. And that was it. So he went basically 16 games without stirring the pot, without, you know, harming the bees nest or whatever you want to call it, right?
Right.
Model NFL citizen. And then all of a sudden, on Monday night, this comes out. So this tells me that he suppressed this throughout the time that he was in Cleveland. And he got overwhelmed, was in the right place at the wrong time, right, with his emotions. Probably had kicked a few beers back or whatever, and was just emotionally into it, and was probably just being genuine about his feelings and his thoughts. But you got to make sure that you do it in the correct manner when all the cameras are on you. Now, Odell is a superstar. He's a megastar. He's known around the world in every, you know, nook and cranny in the world. He's not just this local, you know, United States guy. He's known everywhere. So he knows that any little thing he does is going to be scrutinized. So I think that this is a good learning lesson for him. Definitely going to be a good learning lesson for him when he walks over there to NOPD or whatever to take care of that little misdemeanor or whatever. But I think moving forward, I don't think this changes Coach O's perspective on former players, because this is one out of 100,000, if you will. And that's the one thing that we all love about Coach O is the fact that he's opened every door up to every former player there to come in and do whatever we want to do, that workout, talk to people, visit with the guys, whatever it is, visit with the coaches, anything we want to do. That's one of the most beautiful things that he's done since he's been there.
Former LSU quarterback Herb Tyler here on Sports Talk. Also, Herb, Dave Aranda leaving as the defensive coordinator, going to be the head coach at Baylor. How big of a loss is this compared to Joe Brady? Which one's bigger?
Well, you know, so this is another situation I was talking about with a good buddy of mine. Marquis Spears played linebacker with us at LSU back in 95 and 98. So with Joe Brady leaving, okay, that was important because it was important for, I think, recruiting-wise and for what he was saying before he left. He kept saying that, you know, he wasn't going anywhere unless LSU wanted him to go. As long as LSU wanted me here, I'm staying. He should have said it. He should have just said, I love where I am. I appreciate what's going on. If anything comes up, I'll take a look at it or whatever, right? And then you don't leave such a reminder of what he was saying prior to him leaving in your mouth, if you will. But Coach Aranda, on the other hand, has never once said anything about leaving or staying or anything. So it's time for Coach Aranda to have that head coaching experience. He's been with us for quite some time. He's fulfilled his duty. He's given us everything that we've ever asked for. I think he's going to be successful at Baylor. I think it's time. Now, this goes to what? Which one is going to be the biggest loss? I think that Coach Aranda would be the biggest loss because Coach Ensminger is the one calling all the plays. Now, he had help from Coach Brady in the actual moments of maybe discussing which plays at which times, but Coach Ensminger was really
pulling the trigger. Yeah.
He was really calling the shots. So, but what Joe Brady brought in was the tinkering of the intricacies of the offense, right? And the way that it became five wides, scat blocking scheme up front with the five offensive linemen. Every now and then you have a back end, a blood help block, things like that. And then he also helped with the development of the players. Now, we've gotten over those humps. I think Coach Insminger and whatever assistants they have on staff now can continue that rolling, because I just don't think that, with all of me, I can't say that Joe Brady is the exact difference to make all of that happen. I think it was a collaborative effort. Now, here's the thing. Now that LSU's won a national championship, we've had one of the greatest teams ever, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, receiving duels, running backs, all this other stuff. Here's where you start to gain the appreciation for a Nick Saban, right? Now, follow me now. So Nick Saban has been on the top of the mountain for the last 10 years, winning five national championships or whatever it is he's won. Do you know every year his coaching staff turns over? Every year.
Right. If not every year, at least every other year.
Every other year, right. So, and then his players are leaving. He's got six or seven guys leaving every year from off the team that are integral parts of the team. So this is where we're going to see where Coach O can really keep that glue together here and make the right hires moving forward. So that's what I was saying about it gains you a really good appreciation of what Nick Saban has done over the last 10 years. Because people come, when you're great, guess what they do? They start offering your assistants, you know, great jobs. And then your players are able to take the leap their junior year and not stay to the seniors or whatnot. So here's going to be the toughest challenge for Coach O, replacing those coaches, making sure that he can have the next man up approach with the players, and then recruiting guys that can play right away, or if not their second year, their sophomore year in at LSU.
Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. Good stuff as always, man. Go continue your celebration.
Yes, sir. I will, man. Thank y'all, man. Why say hello too?
All right. Herb, before you run, I still think you're on. You know what's crazy about this day and age? Is that can you not really celebrate? Let's say, I like Herb's mentality. He's on cloud 8. He might not be on 9. How about we celebrate for a whole week? You know how? You know
they
how
got the parade this weekend, so keep it going.
Keep it going, because you know how?
It's so rare.
What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do next week? Next year. You know, we don't appreciate the moment enough. It seems like now the coaches, they got to go and recruit and do all that. But as fans, come on, we got to embrace this, I think, more than what we're doing. When you go into work, you should have a smile on your face, simply realize what we achieve. You know, it's not one snap and clear. We need to embrace this. You're right, Herb.
Look, coach, it's even a day a week for the coaches. So the coaches can still celebrate.
Right.
Now, here's the other kicker. No one plays another game until August, whatever it is, right? The last week in August, first week in September. Why can't we celebrate all the way up until then? We're going to be the champions, actually, until next year.
That's it.
He's Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. Thanks, man. We'll get back to these phone calls. Right. Donald, Red, right, John, Herb. Charles, Dana, Chuck, and Joey. You're next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. You're patiently waiting on the phones. I'm going to get to you right now. Red online, too. Go ahead, Red. You're on WWL.
Oh, yes, I've been waiting. I've been following LSU since I was there. I've been 91 years of age. And the most important question that hasn't been asked, whether it's defensive or offensive. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, with coordinator, much more important. Nobody's going to win 7 tough games again. And not in your lifetime, my lifetime. Well, I hope you live as long as I do. Anyway, when is any the Texas A&M coach, when he first got there, said, what is going on? They have all the top teams in one bracket and Georgia in the other bracket. So everybody wins, and then they play Georgia and then go on to something else. But who controls the SEC? It's obviously known that it's unfair. We don't play Tennessee, Kentucky, and Swanee, and all those again yet. And
you're talking about the rotation of the Eastern Conference, how that's our common opponent. And for Alabama, it's Tennessee.
Well, and Tennessee used to be good. They used to. I say this, but there's a lot of tradition there between Tennessee and Alabama. And you know what's crazy? If you look recently, you look at the rivalry between obviously LSU and Alabama, but LSU would be like the third banana. Let me tell you what, the Iron Bowl, they can't stand Auburn, but they hate Tennessee way more than LSU. I'm talking about history. If you follow The Alabama Crimson Tide. And so that game is just a natural rivalry. Now, it's kind of turned into like, because they're so competitive, LSU, Florida, LSU. I think they tried to make the booth into something that's not. And I think they're changing that with Arkansas, where more Arkansas and Missouri.
Yeah.
The proximity of that.
They're doing a better job of regionalizing these rivalries.
And now it would be, I think, in the West, that truly because of the proximity, in the future, now, Christian, we might be dead. Are we getting older? Or might be in the 20s and 30s, LSU and Texas A&M. Because it's not Texas A&M and Texas anymore. They're not playing now. You know, the legislator might get involved with Texas and say, look, we need Texas and Texas A&M to play each other. This is ridiculous. But right now, it seemed like that'd be just common sense. That's what the SEC would want, I think, to have that rivalry type game. Now it's been Ole Miss in the future, but I think you think more from a competitive angle. You think more A&M and LSU than LSU and Ole Miss, if that makes sense.
Red, thanks for the phone call, John in West Wego. Go ahead, John. You're on WWL.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Bobby. That security guard at the Superdome, when he made the decision to go in there and tell those guys to stop smoking, I think he could have done that a little bit more diplomatically, because what if one of those guys would have said, you know, you're going to arrest me, you and what army? And then he tries to arrest them, and next thing you know, you got a full-blown
situation. That wouldn't have been good. That's when you got to use proper judgment and common sense. You don't need to be like Barney Fife, just because I have some authority. You got to use common sense. But in their defense, though,
look, they have these, they have all kinds, the Superdome hosts all these events, right, that are special.
Yeah.
And they don't discern which one gets to break the rules and which one doesn't. I'm talking about from SMG down. They don't tell them, hey, they're allowed, but this group is not. I mean, it's across the board. So he was just simply following directives.
He was following
directives that he was given.
Listen, Bobby, listen to me.
Okay, I'm listening.
I had a brother-in-law. He got a job as charge of security at a Salt Lake City shopping mall.
Okay.
Real gung-ho guy, Marine, right? Well, employees were parking in unauthorized parking spots. So he did the right thing. He wrote everybody tickets to give them to him, right? Guess what happened to him? He got fired. And this security guard that this happened to, watch what happens to him in the next few weeks.
So you think he'll get fired because...
Why take a chance with a guy like that? Why take a chance with a guy who can't use common sense?
No, I'm just telling you, you have to know. You might say, well, the rules are the rules, but really the rules are not the rules. You might say, well, that's why we have rules. But let me tell you, you have to look at common sense and the situation.
Well, here's
it'd be like in theory, okay, whoever's lighting a cigar, I'm arresting all of you. Like, what?
That
person would have to leave the state of Louisiana. What are you talking about?
The only thing that's disappointing about that part of it, this is not some young security officer. This is a lieutenant. He was a lieutenant. So he's got some experience. He should have some savviness about him saying, hey, all right, I get it.
And know the scenario, all right?
Yeah, but again, it goes back to all I think he was trying to do was just enforce the same rules that he would for any other event there.
Come on, we so damn glad LSU won the championship. Come on, dude. That's why you got to.
I get it. I get it.
You have to know the situation there. I don't.
That's a situation where I probably would have been like, all right, I didn't see that.
Yes.
I didn't see it. And if the video comes out that they're smoking in the locker room, then I'd take my lumps as a security guard and go, all right, that's what you can say. It made no sense for me to take on 14 players about smoking a cigar in a locker room.
Well, and I'm sure the mailman, Carl Malone, household name, he probably, I think, so they're not going to do anything. He probably knew the rules in the Superdome, you can't smoke. So, and then he's the one dishing out the cigars, right?
Yeah.
And who doesn't love the mailman? Who doesn't love Carl Malone? I don't know. Then, you can't bend the rules for certain people. I think you just have to know the situation and the circumstance.
More importantly, John, this is why that police officer is not going to be, or that Superdome officer is not going to be let go. Because he's got charges currently filed against Odell Beckham Jr. for simple battery. I mean, if you go watch it, by its truest definition of the law, it was simple battery.
Do you think, though?
And Odell's got to, if we're talking about common sense, Odell's got to have some common sense as well and not put his hands on a police officer or an officer in uniform whatsoever.
Okay, but look how long maybe that transpired. Do you think that also the cash money involved, that somebody maybe got to him. We got to teach Odell a lesson, and I think we can arrest him with this. You know, by okay, why didn't he do it right away?
No, I agree with that. I think he sat on it and said, all right, I'm bitter about it. I'm upset about it. Instead of doing it, you could have done it right then and there. He was within his right to arrest Odell right there on the spot.
Okay, so do you think, though, that someone would have said, look, man, Odell's out of control. Let's,
I also think embarrassment set in, right? This thing starts going viral. You get
social
a little embarrassed
media
by it.
And all that.
I know this. Your initial, Bobby, you've been in situations like this where maybe in the moment you weren't as angry as after you get back and reflect on it and go, man, that was really embarrassing. He made me look bad there.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've all been embarrassed in situations and moments you want to take back. And the bottom line is you just have to humble yourself and realize what's right is wrong, and, you just go from there. Now, Christian, I wanted to talk about this because I think the listeners would be interested in this. I think there's been blown out of proportion with Odell Beckham maybe interrupting Coach O when he's talking to the team. Because like Coach O, like we said this, Herb Tyler, we had him on. Coach O welcomes all former players, not just the superstars. So I got a text, let's be clear, Coach O is a saint because he wants players that players there, but let's paint a more accurate picture. He only wants the special ones that made it.
That's not true.
Big time. He said, oh, you think T-Bob was welcome? I know T-Bob was welcome. What are you talking about? Any player who played, Coach O welcomes, and you even talk about the year where you're at and all that. So
listen.
So this texter right here, 6243, you don't know the LSU situation and how Coach O treats the former football alumni. Now, with that being said, let me tell you what happened in the locker room.
Scoopage.
Coach
O. Bobby's got some scoopage.
Coach O is talking. So they got all these ex-players and all there. So he's inviting. I think we all heard of Booger McFarland, right?
Yeah.
And then starting Dallas offensive lineman Lyle Collins, right?
We all know that name.
So all of a sudden, Coach O goes up to Booger McFarland. What do you think about that? Like, well, what do you got to say? So Booger says a few words. Does the same thing with Lyle Collins. The players on the team says, Coach O, Odell Beckham's here. Well, what about Odell? Odell said, look, I really don't have anything to say. Just I'm so proud of the team kind of thing. So he did not disrupt him. So that's something that's thrown out there. You would initially think that Coach O is doing the speech and he's trying to overtalk him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the case. That was not the case.
He was humble.
He was actually staying in the background. It was the present-day players who just won the championship telling Coach O, because they all know how Coach O recognizes Honey Badger, all the former players and all that. Come on, look at the stroke Booger McFarland. He's on Monday Night Football. So, man, why? Come on, recruits see that and all. You want all that part of the scenario, portfolio. Boy, look how the atmosphere. So Lyle Collins, that they know, come on, he plays for Dallas. So that's how it all came out. So that was now nothing to do with slapping the security guard on the butt, on the buttocks, and all that,
yeah, and the buttocks
and cash money and all that. That's all different scenarios. So that's what we can't pile on.
No,
and that was that. So I want all the fans that are out there. That was blown out of proportion, and Odell Beckham Jr. was not disrespectful in the LSU locker room and Coach O.
Bobby, to say that texter about he only wants the stars, listen, and Herb Tyler will tell you this, Herb had a really good career at LSU. But was he a superstar, or that of the likes of Odell?
And that was a long time ago, Christian.
And I can tell you, I've seen Coach O embrace Herb Tyler with a tremendous amount of reverence and respect. Like, in other words, he's invited. He could call Coach O and say, I want to come watch your spring practices that are closed to everybody else.
And that's over two decades. The thing and about he's when
gonna,
play.
And Coach O's going to say, absolutely. They don't even have to call. There's a standard policy. Hey, if you're a former player, you can show up around this program anytime you want, whether you are a superstar or a guy that played on special teams.
On Saturday when they do the Tiger Walk,
mm-hmm.
If you want to be involved in that and come with the team, the more the merrier. All for one, one for all. One heartbeat. Hello. Mm-hmm. Hello. No, so that's
Have you done that yet?
I didn't play for LSU. Why would I do it? I didn't play for
LSU.
You're
close to Coach O. I thought
that
maybe.
Doesn't matter. I didn't play for LSU. Okay. They didn't want me around.
All right. Well,
come on. I'm a Northwestern Demon now.
I get it.
If we do a tarpon walk at Salafouche, you know, in high school, I'd do it that way, Coach
O. So he's a state champ and a national champ.
National champ.
Bill Johnson's a national champion and a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, national champ, Super Bowl champion with the Saints. You know what's crazy about that? Think about this. What goes around comes around. That, you know, opportunities. You know, the year before the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2008.
Coach O
was the D-line coach for the Saints. He left, went to Tennessee because they paid him twice as much money. He left the Saints. I think the Saints were paying him like $450,000. He got $900,000 from Tennessee. Went with Lane Kiffin, who he's now going to coach against.
Yeah.
It's crazy to coach a fraternity. Now Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss. Bill Johnson, first year with the Saints. D-line coach wins the Super Bowl.
First year with LSU. Wins the national championship.
Hello. Come on. Think
Bill
about
Johnson's it. The good luck charm.
Think about those odds right there.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Sports Talk continues here on WWL. I don't want to run anybody up against the clock, so if you're on hold, sit tight. I will carry you over in the next hour. Also going to have our view from Vegas, pro bettor and handicapper at thebigmoves.com, at Greek_gambler. Bobby, how about this stat for LSU? They ran 999 offensive plays. They punted 40 times. 40. 4-0.
Well, Christian, and on top of that, it's like, and you want your quarterback to be optimistic and the right leader and very encouraging. And obviously, his confidence speaks volumes. But at the Manning Passing Academy, I was on vacation. I think you were there on Mike Dettillier and all. And with Joe Burrow, very nonchalant, kind of like say, no, I think we're really going to be an offense that's going to score 40, 50, 60 points.
Uh-huh.
And you're like,
people
okay.
kind of shrug their shoulders like okay.
I'm proud of you. Like, you know, I'm glad you're that optimistic. Christian, they average almost 50, 48 and a half points. What? That's what I said. He's a prophet. I mean,
it was like watching a video games at times this year. All right, our view from Vegas next hour, plus your calls. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.